Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
So I want to talk about a couple definitions in the Bible. I want to talk about what it means to have grace, what it means to be proud, and what it means to be humble. Now, most of you, when I've said those three words, say, I kind of know. I kind of know what grace is. I kind of know what humility is. I kind of know what pride is. But we're going to look at the biblical definitions of each of those words. Let's start with grace. What does it mean when the Bible speaks of grace? What is grace? Well, anytime you see a quotation mark in your Bible, as you see up behind me, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Those quotation marks mean that that is a verse that is quoted someplace else in the Bible, usually in the Old Testament. And in this case, it's Proverbs 3:14. And there God says, but to the humble he gives favor. So here we get our first understanding of what grace is. Grace is the favor of God. That's the Hebrew definition. It means God's kindness, his favor. But it's also used here in James, and the New Testament is written in Greek, and the Greek word for grace is charis. How many of you know a little girl named Charis? None of you know a little girl named Charis. That's a problem. I know at least two girls named Charis. Maybe that's because I'm a pastor and I was raised in the church, and a lot of Christian parents name their kids Charis, or at least the girls anyway. And Charis is an interesting word. It means the kindness of God, especially as it strengthens and increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, and affection. The grace of God is something that strengthens you in these areas of knowledge and of affection. So we could say it this way. The grace, that is what God pours out from heaven, has to do with his favor and also his strength. How many people would like to be strengthened by God today? Anybody? How many people would like to know that God has favor? He favors you today. So these are two amazing things, and they come with humility. So what is humility? What does it mean when the Bible says to be humble? Now, it's an interesting word, tepiosnos, and it is a Greek word that means three things. First of all, it is when the sinner recognizes his sinfulness. Now, I hate to break this news to you, but are you aware that you are a sinner? If you don't see yourself as a sinner, there's a problem. And it means you probably can't be humble. The second thing it means is that we recognize that we are the creation, not the creator. Do you all recognize that? That there is a God in heaven and you're not him. And you are that creation. And finally, thirdly, and this is maybe the most important for us, it is to recognize our absolute dependence upon the Father. What would we do if God decided to remove the air and the atmosphere today? We would all die instantly. It is God who sovereignly looks over the universe and he provides exactly what is needed. And if he was to remove the grace of anything, we would immediately cease to be, especially in those areas that pertain to living life. So humility is recognizing our sinfulness, our origins, and our dependency upon God. So if you want God's favor, you want his strength, be humble, recognize you're a sinner, recognize you're the creation, and also recognize that you are at total dependence upon God. Somebody once said the three most important virtues are humility, humility, and humility. To be humble. Now, what is the opposite of humility? Does anybody know? Pride. So what does it mean when the Bible speaks about pride? And by the way, pride is the greatest of all sins, is it not? It was the first sin. It was the sin that caused Lucifer to fall from heaven. But here, the Bible says, God will oppose you. If you're proud, his hand will be against you. You'll be running against the wind your entire life. There will be opposition if God loves you, that is. A proud person, here it is one who shows himself above his fellow man in honor and preferring himself. Now, we're all guilty of that from time to time. We show ourselves as superior to other people. That's pride. Remember Lucifer? This is exactly how he fell. And by the way, the word Lucifer, this is Isaiah 14, the word Lucifer actually means star of the morning. And it was the name given to Satan before he fell. Lucifer was the star of the morning. But here's how he fell. The Bible says in Isaiah, he said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. I will not be a creation. I will be like the Creator. I will not submit. I will be above. And this is how he fell. Now, by the way, if you've hopefully you've never really looked too deeply into this, but you know Satan worshipers don't worship Satan. You know who they worship? Themselves. They imitate the very being they say they admire or that is their God, so therefore they worship themselves. So the opposite of this is to worship God, but also to honor and prefer others. Listen, here's the nature of Jesus in the way of humility. He says, I am gentle and I am lowly of heart. The very nature of Jesus is to be lowly of heart. And to be a Christian means we're like a little Christ. That's literally what the word means. So let's talk about imitating Jesus in his humility. Was Jesus totally dependent upon his Father? Now remember, Jesus is God. But he says here in John 5, he says, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever his Father does, the Son does likewise. He says, every word I speak, he says this later in John 12, 49, I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father has sent me and he has given me a commandment to say and what to speak. Jesus is totally dependent upon his Father. But here's another interesting thing of how Jesus was humble. And by the way, the Bible says that we are to have, as Christians, the same mind that was in Jesus should be in us. It says, have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. What does this mean? That Jesus, although he was God, never saw himself as God. He never saw himself as equal to his Father, even though he was. So here's Jesus, God. Here's his Father. He sees him as superior. Now the Bible says, you as human beings, obviously you're not on this same level, but here's what you're to do. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Listen, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others as better than yourself. Let me ask you that. Do you do that? Do you esteem other people as better than yourself? Remember, Jesus, equal to the Father, sees his Father as higher. You as a human being, do you see others as above you? Now, this is where most of us fall down. Because it's hard to see other people as being superior to us, especially when we know that a lot of them are not. I met a guy sometime ago, I guess it was in my 20s, and he wanted to practice this art of humility, so he wanted to make everybody feel superior to him in some way. So when you met him, he would pick out an attribute and he would kind of talk about it. So in my case, to make me feel superior to him, he said, man, you guys have really nice hair. Now, he was bald. And I was in my 20s. Now, in your 20s, you don't look at your hair as being like that special. And so, to me, that was an insult. It's like, you met me, and the only thing you can think about is I have nice hair. That's it? Hair? So, when people hear this, oh, I gotta prefer others as better than myself, that's what they're thinking. Well, maybe I'll pick out one attribute that they have that's better than me. How many people know there's a lot of people out there that are really, really bad people? Maybe they murder or rape or are pedophiles. So how do we then esteem others as better than ourselves when we know there are some people that are so far worse? And here is the answer to that question. Here's what you must always keep in mind. This is the Apostle Paul. And by the way, the Apostle Paul was a murderer. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Does anybody know how he persecuted the church? He killed people. He said this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. and His grace toward me has not been in vain. When you see somebody, maybe, let's just take a pedophile for instance. Think about their childhood. Think about what they might have gone through. Maybe they were molested. Maybe they grew up in a toxic environment in which they had no other way, and this was birthed into them, and they can't control it because they were born also in an environment that had no self-control. Can you say, if not for the grace of God, that could be me? And if you can't say that, you don't understand the grace of God, because I don't care what it is you have. I don't care if it's intellect, I don't care if it's morals, I don't care if it's self-discipline, I don't care what it is, in some way, God gave you that.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.